You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to a brand new season on the RedCafe.net podcast. New season, but maybe unfortunately not new presenters. It's me, Stephen Darwin, and I'm joined by Danny Lomax and Dov Schiavone. Guys, how you doing? How's the summer been for you?
Fantastic to hear your voice again, Steve. Missed it. No, it's been all right. It's been decent weather, I suppose, for the last month until like sort of like last week when it's been a bit rainy up here. Anyway, I don't know what it's been like down south or up in sunny Scotland, but I've had a decent summer. Been to Venice.
Very nice.
It was quite nice, yeah. It was
decent. I hope that was a romantic weekend, Dan.
It was, yeah. I didn't go to Venice with the boys. I think that'd be a bit weird, really. But it was took a lovely girlfriend to Venice. Well, I say took. I didn't really pay for her, but we went to Venice.
And the lovely girlfriend. I like that, Dan. I hope she's tune in.
Well, I'll tell her to listen. She's a subscriber, so she should listen, really. And if she doesn't, then I'll be having words.
She won't be the lovely girlfriend if she doesn't.
No, she'll just be the girlfriend or something like that. So,
how you doing, Dov?
I had a good summer as well, Steve. I've been away traveling the world. I've been to Finland, Russia, and France since the World Cup, so it's been not bad. And like Dan, I've experienced lots of sunny weather until I came back to sunny Scotland, where it has been anything but sunny. I've been back for 3 weeks, and I've seen maybe half a day of sun. I think that's as good as it's getting here. So, yeah, not the best weather, but nice and relaxing. What about you, Steve? What have you been up to?
Well, I've not been as busy as you two in terms of travelling, let's just say that. But no, I'm off to Portugal on Sunday, so really looking forward to that. But no, other than that, just been working, really, and trying to catch up with a few of the United pre-season games. I mean, I watched the game against the League of Ireland 11 tonight, which was and we played really, really well. So we'll talk about that more in a minute. But no, not a great deal. And just looking forward to getting stuck into the new season, to be honest. And what better way to kickstart then, guys, by looking back at the sort of pre-season schedule, the six games we've had since the start of July. It's been 4 wins, 2 defeats, 19 goals scored and 9 goals conceded, if you look at it on the whole. Some really positive results. Like I said, the League of Ireland result, 7-1. That's a great victory. I mean, the League of Ireland side are obviously not going to be as strong as any of the Premier League teams we come up against, but still, it's good to get some goals and some confidence, and the World Cup players returning as well. Rooney was back in, and he did okay. But in general, Dov, how would you summarise a sort of pre-season? 2 defeats, 4 wins. Not too bad, but then at the end of the day, it's pre-season, isn't it? It's all about fitness.
Yeah, exactly. I think some of the games, to be fair, were actually quite good. I mean, the 5-2 against the All-Stars, the Kivas game, I thought was quite entertaining, even though we did get beat. Well, I think he's using it, one, for fitness, and maybe assessing a couple of the younger players like Tom Cleverley, and maybe deciding which of maybe Welbeck, Diouf and Makeda to keep for the season and who to send out on loan and things like that. Just seeing how his squad is for the start of the season, to see who he's going to keep and see who he's going to send away to get some first team experience. But I've not seen all the games, but from what I've seen, I mean, they look alright. They look pretty decent, although a couple of defensive issues at the back, I think. But I think once Vidic and Ferdinand ever come back, I mean, those will all be sorted. I mean, a couple of the young players look a bit overawed by playing for United, but I think overall you can't really complain too much with what we've seen so far.
And Dan, surely we can't go any further without discussing Chicharito. He's been absolutely awesome, isn't he, since he arrived? He's scored again tonight, and you mentioned earlier set up the penalty for Nani to score as well, and just in general, he scored against us, didn't he, for Chivas the other week. But no, he's looked really bright, really sharp, and he looks like he's going to be a really decent signing.
Well, I made an effort during the World Cup, you know, to watch him and watch Mexico play, and I thought he did really well for them as well. That goal he scored against Argentina was a good, great turn and a fantastic finish, really. And obviously, like you say, scoring on his debut for us, and then scoring against us as well, which was a good finish. So, and I've not actually seen the goal tonight, but I've heard it was his first touch. So, he does. He looks quite fast. Looks sharp. He reminds me of like Michael Owen when he was like sort of 20-ish, you know. Really sharp around the box. He likes to get his shot off as well. So hopefully he'll be a good player for us. But I don't want to expect too much, you know, in case it's just a bit of a false dawn. But as Dov was mentioning before in the friendlies, I think defensively we look a bit shaky, really. Chris Smalling, I'm not 100% certain about him. I know that in a few years he'll probably be a really good centre-half. But at the moment, although he's very good on the ball, I don't think he's got that maturity to play in a back four, especially alongside someone like Evans, who doesn't really... He doesn't really command any authority at the back, unlike, you know, like Carrillo or Vidic would. So it's just a time will tell on him. But no, I've been impressed pre-season, apart from getting up death times to watch him. But it's been okay.
I just want to, without talking about it too much, Dan, you mentioned the World Cup briefly there. The one player I want to focus on is obviously Wayne Rooney. So much hype about him doing so well in South Africa, and ultimately, we've got to admit, it was a disappointment. He was really poor, whether that was fitness, whether that was because he was tired, burnt out, we don't know really. But Dan, I mean, will that affect him in any way, do you think, coming into the start of the new season, the fact that he didn't do well? He knows he didn't do well, and he'd have been so desperate to do well.
I don't know. Everyone expected too much of Wayne Rooney, I think. I think I mentioned it, you know, in the last pod we did, that it would be he's going to have to step up if he wants to like make everybody happy, and it just didn't happen for him at all. The thing about Rooney in the World Cup was he didn't appear to be actually, you know, trying like he does for United. You know, when he loses the ball and he chases back, for England, he just seemed to be a bit discontent and not really bothering with it. But whether that was form or fitness, I don't know. Saw the interesting photos in the sun as well, with him smoking and peeing up the side of a wall, which I don't think Ferguson would be too happy with. But you know, it was a night out. I'm sure we've all done that. And Wayne Rooney's no different.
Yourself.
Yeah, well, you can get done for that, can't you, peeing off a wall? So I'm surprised no one's spotted him. But no, I think he'll do fine this season. Hopefully he can you know, start the season well. I know he's only really played one pre-season game, which was tonight, so his fitness probably isn't, you know, at his sharpest. But Wayne Rooney will play whether he's fit or not fit, so I've not got any worries really. We've always got players who can step in for a few weeks.
Certainly have. And Dov, we'll swing it back now to pre-season. And we touched on Chicharito. What about some of the players, the individual performances that have really stood out for you so far? Berbatov's looked pretty bright. The first game against Celtic particularly, he was superb, really. Tom Cleverley, I've been really impressed with him as well, coming back from that loan spell. It was Watford, wasn't it, last season? He did really well there, and he's come back, and I think he's been one of the standout performers, to be honest, this pre-season.
No, he has. Tom Cleverley is definitely good, really sort of shown that he can maybe cut it with us, although I think there's been a lot of rumours that he's maybe going to go on loan for a season to a Premiership team, which I would say maybe he should do to get some more first-team experience. With regard to Berbatov, he's... Last season, maybe say, obviously, what I said is a bit lazy for a lot of the time, looks lethargic and whatever else. But when he came, when he was on against Celtic, he sort of brought a calmness to the team, which obviously I thought a lot of the young guys, I think, appreciated and sort of looked to. He sort of maybe led the team a bit more of what I've seen from him the last couple of seasons as well. So, I'm actually getting a little bit hopeful that he can maybe do something this season. I watched the game against Philadelphia. When he smacked the crossbar, it was a lovely first time shot for that as well. That was a really good. And to be fair, he looks like he might step up this season. So, I've said it. I'll probably regret it, but I've said it. And I hope he does. And I want to see what kind of partnerships he forms with the likes of Chicharito and maybe Dufour Makeda, whoever becomes sort of fourth choice out of the sort of young strikers that we've got. But I mean, I'm quite hopeful for Berbatov this season. And I hope one of the two of the young guys get a chance as well. I'd like to see Obertan step up and maybe get more first-team chances than what he did towards the end of last season as well. So obviously he got the goal against Philadelphia and looked quite lively as well. So I'm hopeful.
Clean slate then, with Mr. Berbatov top. Clean slate, I like it.
Not so much clean, but I am maybe slightly dirty. Not as much.
And Dan, it's been well documented that we haven't really made too much of a foray into the transfer market. I mean, obviously we talked about Hernandez, we talked about Smalling just then as well. But other than that, there's not been anyone come in. We were crying out, weren't we, in the last podcast? We were saying we thought we needed an attacking midfielder, a creative midfielder. That hasn't happened. Are you happy with the squad? Do you think it's a strong enough squad to be able to challenge on all fronts, not just in the Premier League, but in Europe as well?
I still think we're a bit light in certain areas. I mean, I'm quite happy with the goalkeeping situation. Van der Sar is obviously still a decent keeper, and Kujak's a decent backup as well, and young Ben Amos as well can step up if required. Defensively, I think we're fairly sound. We've got Fabio and Rafael to cover, you know, both wing backs, and obviously we've got enough centre halves, providing that Rio can actually stay fit this year. Midfield's where I'd worry though. I mean, I do like Darren Gibson, but I just think he's a bit limited. I think he'll do well this season. I hope he gets about 5 to 10 goals, because that does seem to be what he's good at, you know, shooting. So maybe he can provide that way. And then obviously you've got Fletcher, who will be a great player for us. Hargreaves, I don't know whether he's going to retire or anything like that. It's been, you know, 2 years now, and it must be hard for him to come back after such a long injury. So I think central midfield, that's where we're a bit stretched. And there's all this talk about Ertzil coming and stuff like that, but depends what price you're getting for. He looks a decent player, but how many times have clubs splashed out on someone who's done well in a World Cup or in a Euros, and then they've ended up being pretty shabby when, you know, playing in the Premier League? So I don't know really.
I can't see it. I can't see anyone coming, to be honest. Now I think the business is done. We've done the deals. We've not even looked like bringing anyone in. But at the end of the day, if someone like Chicharito can have a good season, and someone he's taken a gamble on who we don't know too much about and score 10, 15 goals this season, then maybe we don't need it. But like you say, there is a weakness in central midfield. Carrick, he picked up a bit of a knock tonight, actually. Came off with an ankle injury. Hopefully that's nothing too serious. But I don't like to dwell on it too much, but I don't think we've got that creative spark there. You look at the likes of Scholes and people like Giggs when he plays there, they're more withdrawn, aren't they, rather than getting into the box, late runs, that sort of thing. But maybe that's what someone like Rooney thrives off. He's the one that wants to be doing that sort of role. So it might yet turn out all right for us, but hopefully it doesn't come and sort of haunt us, if you like, towards the end of the season. But there's always January. There's always January, so you never know.
So remember, so you're going to have Anderson coming back. I think he's scheduled to come back around about September time, and well, he's been out for nearly a year, so he'd be like a new signing as well. And I'm a big fan of his, and I think he hopefully can come back and he'll get chances because, well, like Dan said, we're quite light in sort of the midfield and things like that. So he will get chances. It's just whether he can step up. But I'm very hopeful for him as well.
Speaking of midfielders, boys, Anderson getting stuck in pre-season early in that little car crash he had. What do you make of that? Do you think what's going to happen? I don't know if Fergie will have a word with him, but he needs to knuckle down, really.
Well, it was reported that it was after he'd been out at a nightclub and arriving early hours in the morning, something like that. But yes, it's not a good sign. But obviously, luckily, he's got out sort of unhurt by the sounds of it. Said it was a serious crash, didn't he? But he's obviously come away of it without too many sort of career-threatening injuries or anything like that. So yeah, that's a big positive. But yeah, I think Ferguson will have a quiet word, make sure it stays between him and Ferguson. It won't get to the media or anything like that, I doubt. But Anderson's not been one to sort of shy away from the media, is he? If he's been told something or he's not happy about something, we've seen him in the past come out and sort of express he's not happy. So maybe that's something to keep an eye on. But no, he's proved he's got potential, and I think Ferguson's shown he's got faith in him as well, and he's willing to give him chances to impress. So hopefully he'll come through and have a good season. But damn, we've been saying that how good last couple of years since he joined now. We've been saying, is this Anderson's season?
He's just a bit inconsistent though, isn't he? I mean, he has his good games, you know, where he plays very well, and he has his bad ones. But I felt a bit sorry for him last season, because I think, was it against West Ham when he did his knee? And then... But he was looking like he was actually coming into a bit of form at that time. And I remember him asking for first team football, and Fergie started him in that game. It's just unfortunate how it happened. But for a young player, he's had a lot of serious injuries, and it's just a bit worrying, really.
I'm hopeful he can do a nanny. Obviously, inconsistent for God knows how many years, and then suddenly it just all clicks and turns into a key player for us. And I'm hopeful he can do that as well. Obviously, maybe take heed from what Nani's done. I'm guessing maybe it's hard work or maybe a different approach to training. And then he's went on and become a key player. I'm hoping Anderson can do something very, very similar.
Let's not jump the gun too quickly with Nani. I mean, he end of last season he was magnificant, but he's got to push on start of this season and really prove that it wasn't just sort of like an Indian summer, if you like. He's got to push on and produce it at the start of this season as well. But I'm fully confident he can do that because, like you say, he was probably our best player towards the end of last season. So that's looking good. Just want to touch on a couple more things before we move on. Michael Owen, obviously back tonight after... Well, it was a horrendous injury, wasn't it? Because it ruled him out for pretty much the rest of the season, wasn't it? Carling Cup final when he... was it a hamstring knock he picked up? But anyway, he's back and he scored a terrific goal tonight, a lob over the keeper. Brilliant. Well, a bit of a lucky first touch, but then his awareness to lob the goalkeeper was absolutely superb. So if you haven't seen that goal yet, I would recommend watching it. And Nemanja Vidic, guys, we were a bit worried, weren't we, at the end of last season? Was he going to stay? Was he going to be lured to someone like Barcelona, Real Madrid, throwing money his way? But he's committed, isn't he? And that's that can only be good news.
I think that it's good that he has sort of signed a new deal. Has he signed it yet or not? Has he just like said he's going to do?
He's definitely signed it, Dan.
Good. All right, well, that's good then. no, I mean, I think he's a very good player, obviously. You always worry with players like that, though, who come, you know, from abroad and then maybe want to go again. But he seems to be committed. He's had a lot of good years here. And obviously, he feels like he can still do very well. So I've no doubts about the lad. I think he's a very good player, isn't he, obviously. But it's a big boost, really. And obviously, it'll help the younger guys along, you know, like a Chris Smalling and like an Evans, if you have people like Vidic around.
Yeah, I think it's good as well that he did sign on, because if he did leave, then obviously you've got Rio, who looks like his back has fallen apart. And then obviously if he goes, that's your two top centre-backs gone. And then, like say, you've got Smalling, Evans, Wes Brown, who likes a good injury as well. John O'Shea is not a centre-back. I mean, you're really struggling if Vidic goes to get a top-class first-choice pairing there. So it's like Steve sort of said when we're off there, saying it's like a new signing. In a sense, it's really key for us going into the new season, because if he did leave, then I think we would be sort of leaking, well, not hundreds, but a lot of goals, considering.
No, yeah. I agree with that, and I agree with what Dan said as well about someone like Smalling. If he plays alongside Vidic, I think that's going to help him sort of improve as a player. And you saw it tonight. I know it was against a pretty weak League of Ireland side, with all due respect to them. Smalling did look much more assured alongside Vidic, and he just sort of seemed more confident on the ball as well, and he wasn't worried about making a mistake. So maybe that sort of thing is what's going to help develop him.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
But well then, before we move on to look ahead to Sunday's, well, you might call it competitive game, but the game against Chelsea, the Community Shield at Wembley, get your thoughts for the season in general, really, guys. Looking at other teams around us, Chelsea haven't strengthened too much. I mean, they've brought in Ben Ayoun, got rid of Joe Cole, so whether you call that an upgrade, I don't know, but they haven't done too much in the market. Obviously, City spending money left, right and centre. Arsenal, Chamakh, he looks like a really decent signing from what I saw at the Emirates Cup the other day. Then, of course, Tottenham, top four finish last season. They might be crawling around up there, you never know. So, and Liverpool as well, Torres staying, so that'll be a big boost for them. Dan, how do you see the sort of season shaping up? I know it's a bit early to be making sort of drastic predictions.
It is very early, yeah. If I knew, Steve, I'd be putting a bet. But I was speaking to a guy at work today. I think we'll finish second, in all honesty. I think Chelsea will probably just be a bit too strong. Obviously, the last two seasons, Chelsea have not been brilliant when they've had Scolari. And they've kind of slipped the standards a bit. But I think with Ancelotti, they've got a really good manager there who's obviously tactically sound as well. And they've got a decent squad. I mean, I do actually think Ben Ayoun's a cracking player. and he'll be a great asset to him. I know he's 30 year old, but I mean, I think he can, if they use him properly, he can be really good. In terms of United, I think that any sort of decent league challenge is acceptable, but we do want to win that 19th one before Liverpool do. And if Liverpool are going to get bought out soon, then we'd rather win it sooner rather than later.
And Dov, the sort of general feeling I've got from many United fans I've spoken to, it seems to be that getting the Premier League title back from Chelsea, not just that, as Dan said, the 19th as well, going ahead of Liverpool, that sort of takes precedence even over a Champions League win, or obviously an FA Cup win would be lovely. But again, I think the league is the priority, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we all said at the end of last season as well that we need to get the league back. It's the kind of phrase, it's the bread and butter and all that. But I think getting the 19th title as well, I think Fergie wants that. I certainly want that. And just basically so you can say that you're the best team in the country. There can't be any arguments because you won the Premier League title. So I think that's the number one goal for everybody at United as well. I think Fergie's actually said he wants to win the league as his priority. So a decent run, obviously, in the Champions League would be a standard. I think a quarterfinal is obviously as what everybody expects, and a cup as well, or a good cup run, maybe not a cup, but a good cup run too, would obviously be something we would expect. But I think, like you say, I think everybody wants that, they want the league, and I think that's what will be the case. Although I'm with Dan, though, I don't think we'll win it either. I don't think we've strengthened enough, and I think maybe one or two key injuries, and really that could derail any challenge that we had. We'll be there or thereabouts, but I think Chelsea again will be too strong for us.
Pessimistic.
Well, no, I think we'll have a decent run in the FA Cup. I want us to win the FA Cup, pretty sharpish, because we've not won it for a while. And obviously, if we have a decent run in Europe, like Dov said, I think it'll be a decent season. You can't expect too much, but we'll just see how it starts off. Got my tickets for the Newcastle game, so hopefully see Mr. Hernandez play, and then it'll be great.
Do you not think that the Glazers are slowly lowering everybody's expectations? We're just like, yeah, we're not signing anybody for a couple of seasons, and then it's like, yeah, they want to maybe expect maybe a league and a cup or something like that instead of maybe what 3 years ago we're like, yeah, we're going to win the treble again every year. Now it's a bit like, yeah, we'll take it easy, maybe a good run in the league, a good run in the cup, and everybody will be happy.
Well, could it be that this is sort of Ferguson's squad? You've got the likes of Giggs, Scholes coming to the end, sort of thing. Maybe, obviously, Ferguson may be coming to the end next couple of seasons. Well, it seems to be all in place for Mourinho to come in, doesn't it, after he's had his little stint with Real Madrid. But maybe that will be the time he gets the money to improve, sort of, because he'll have to rebuild, won't he, then? Because the likes of Scholes, Giggs won't be around. So it'll be a case of needing to bring in new players, really, and sort of set up a new team. And maybe they're looking ahead to that, I don't know. But I think Ferguson's right. If there isn't a signing worth making, and you don't want to be spending 40, 50 million on a player that maybe isn't proven in the Premier League, and you're not quite sure how he's going to perform, because we're not like City. We haven't got the money where we haven't got the owners that will give us the money to just throw around, and it doesn't really matter if the players don't perform as well as they should do, really. So I think it's wise. It's keeping the money in the banks. Players like Chicharito, I mean, if he has a good season, it's...
Yeah, it was to be some of the signings we have made in the past, like your Schmeichels, your Solskjaers, players like that haven't really cost much, and then went on to massive things, and he could be the sort of new breed as such. It's a cheapish player who just goes on to be a legend. So
you're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
And well then, guys, looking ahead to Sunday, how do you think it's going to go then? Obviously, it'd be nice to win, but Dan, not the end of the world. It's all about getting fitness up. But a trophy's a trophy, so, and beating Chelsea as well, getting one over Chelsea is always nice.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's all about fitness pre-season. I won't be too disappointed if we lost. It doesn't really bother me, the Charity Shield. But I think you want a good performance, don't you, really? And obviously, I think some of the World Cup players will probably get a start again just to improve the fitness, get used to playing matches again. But I think, you know, the last few seasons it's gone down to penalties, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So I think it'll probably happen again, you know. We don't seem to play really well at Wembley for some unknown reason. We all remember the cup final against Chelsea a few years ago. It's the worst game of football I'd ever seen. and then to top it all off, we lost. You know, I just think that we do need to play well to go into the game against Newcastle on a high, really.
And Dov, in terms of a team, I'd ask who would you like to see rather than who do you expect to see? I think it'd be nice to see Chicharito get in a start, wouldn't it, and showing what he can do on the sort of big stage, if you like, in front of, well, you'd hope 70, 80,000 people at Wembley.
Yeah, I'd like him to play the strongest team possible, if I'm going to be honest. I want him to obviously maybe set out who he thinks are going to be starting 11 for the new season. I'd be quite interested to see who starts in the centre of the park, if he plays sort of Fletcher and Scholes or goes for three in the middle, something like that. That'll be quite interesting to see as well. And obviously, I'm with you. I'm quite excited about Chicharito. I think he could be a big player for us this season. That'd be good to see how he plays against top class defenders.
John Terry, top class.
Apparently he is, according to Sky Sports. He's one of the best defenders in the world. He probably is the best defender in the world, according to them, I don't know.
Not sure. Just don't like the man.
He's a decent
player, but I think if Carvalho leaves, that'll pose a big problem for Chelsea, actually, because I've always rated Carvalho a little bit better than Terry. I think he's better on the ball. He's a better defender. I think he's just top class.
Yeah,
we've got Alex, haven't they, who's a very similar player to Terry. And I think over a whole season, I don't think that partnership would work.
Yeah, I mean, you've got two left. If you do play Alex and Terry, I mean, two physical players, see how Chicharito comes up against them. Obviously, because he seems quite a slight character. Obviously, he's a bit young and stuff, but he seems quite slight, so it'd be good to see how he copes against big, massive guys like those two. I mean, I just looked at Chelsea's friendlies. They've beaten off Hamburg, beaten off Frankfurt, hammered off Wickham, beaten off Ajax. It's not been the best pre-season for them. And who have they signed? Benayoun, that's it. It's a lot of stagnation, shall we say. I mean,
After that Brazilian lad, aren't they? The midfielder, is it Ramirez from Benfica? Yes, yes. I think they've had a bid accepted for him. I think it was tonight, actually, I was on the radio. But I don't think he's not a top-quality player.
It looks like a lot of stagnation, maybe a little bit. I still think they are a strong team and they are the champions. So it'll be a tough test, and I think it'll be a bit more competitive than what the friendlies have been so far as well. So obviously, just getting the season kicking into another gear before we play Newcastle. But I think draw penalties probably won't happen. Nobody will want to get anybody injured or any suspensions, like silly suspensions or anything like that. So I don't think it'll be all guns blazing just yet.
Both going for penalties then. Interesting.
They're always tight games against Chelsea, aren't they? So, I mean, you kind of, you know, half expect some sort of a penalty shootout, I think. But hopefully it'll be a great game of football and I'll enjoy a few pints watching it. But I don't think it'll be like that. It's normally, you know, Chelsea games are normally a bit, you know, high intensity but sort of lacking in a bit of quality.
Well, it'll be nice to win a trophy. So let's just see what happens. But that is just about the end of the first episode of the new season on the redcafe.net podcast. Please do get in touch with us. The email address, if you don't know it by now, is podcast@redcafe.net. Send in any questions you might have for us, and be really interested to hear your suggestions as well as to sort of how we can improve on last season and any ideas you've got for features and things like that, because obviously, next two or three weeks, we'll be looking to reintroduce those sort of things as we get into the new season. So do get in touch with us. And, well, that just leaves all of us to say thanks a lot for listening once again. And make sure you tune in next week for week 2.